from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. That needs to be a drop I have.
Who does number two work for?
Oh, good fade. That's James. I'm Kyle. We are the Insiders, and we're taking you right up to noon. Then D'Lo and KC will take over. Appreciate everybody listening on the radio, on the free Odyssey app, and of course on YouTube and Twitch. YouTube.com/ESPN1320, Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. A lot of people hanging out in there today. Chatty House is on fire. Really enjoying the conversation with you guys there. So if you want to jump in there, please do so. Interact. We have a great time. And if you're there, hit the little thumbs up as well. Give that a like. If you want to give us a call, you can. You can bark at us anytime on the Farmer's Dog Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Farmer's Dog, a healthy life starts with healthy food. That number is 916-909-1320. So I want to put a pin in the NBA briefly and talk about the NFL real quick.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson got cut by the Denver Broncos, or he will get cut by the Denver Broncos. That experiment was going so poorly that the Broncos said, we would rather eat $85 million in dead salary cap. So imagine in the NBA having two max players that just aren't on your team.
Oh.
But you have to pay them still.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at. So Russell Wilson has
max.
$85 million cap hit.
This coming season?
This year. To not play for the Broncos.
That's more than Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox make.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Come back.
Yep.
So that's how badly that experiment was going. I got an email yesterday that showed some odds for Russell Wilson's next team. The Pittsburgh Steelers are the favorite at 4-5. And then next on that list are the Las Vegas Raiders of Oakland.
Mm.
At 5-1. Falcons 6-1, Pats 7-1. I need the Raiders to do me a favor and get far, far away from Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
don't even consider it. I understand the idea of you want to kick tires and you want to turn over all the stones and you want to explore all the avenues and this and that. I understand that. Kyle Shanahan says that all the time. Right. We'll do whatever we can if we think it improves our team. What the Raiders did to finish last year, what Antonio Pierce did as the interim head coach to earn the head coaching job, was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there was an NFL team, certainly not a non-playoff team, with better vibes than the Raiders going into the offseason. Bringing in Russell Wilson, regardless of whether you think he's actually still good or he's better than Aiden O'Connell or what the Raiders should do in the draft, it doesn't matter. Russell Wilson's a problem if you're the Raiders. I think you can go help a team like the Steelers. The Steelers have a really strong culture with Mike Tomlin and that group there, and I think that they could make him conform to what they want more than Russ trying to do what Russ wants to do, and maybe he could go help the Steelers. I certainly think he's better than Kenny Pickett. But I don't think that with the Raiders. I think he would come in and try and steamroll everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Raiders would ultimately wind up being worse. I think they're on the right track. I think they're heading the right direction. They got to figure out the quarterback stuff. But they need to figure it out not with Russell Wilson. I need them to come out and refute this. Not refute it. It's not like reported that there's interest. But the fact that they're number two in the odds, they need to go do something publicly that makes that number drop for me.
Yeah, I mean, how do they attack their quarterback position? And that's a tough thing, because what you don't want to do is kind of get stuck in this world where you don't have, like, the leader of your team. Mm-hmm. Like, the coach and everything, that's great. And again, I think Antonio Pierce proved that he's, like, a leader of men last season, which is why he's back. And, you know, they did the right thing. They went out and they got the higher-end offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. Like, mm-hmm. they've built out a staff that makes sense.
Yes.
And they can support him, which is, again, exactly what we talked about. It's okay if you make him the head coach, but what you have to do is bring in these other pieces.
Support.
Now, the next step is you have to get him a winner at quarterback. And not to be disrespectful to Aiden O'Connell or whatever, but that's not it. Like,
probably not.
No, I mean, that doesn't look like he looks like a perfectly fine backup quarterback,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't look like he's the guy. So
sure,
whether you get it in the draft or you get it wherever, that's fine. But you probably need both. You probably need to go out and get a free agent that's better than what you have, and you probably need to go out in the draft and get a quarterback that you can start to groom for the position down the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Russell Wilson. That's where I agree with you. Like, he's not somebody who's willing and able to take on the task of developing a young guy and helping you create something for 2 to 3 years down the road. He's just not that guy. And for that matter, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo was that guy. I like, finding that guy isn't easy.
No.
But you're the other point that you made, I think is really, like, spot on. Like, Russell Wilson is going to end up in the league. He's going to play somewhere. I don't know mm-hmm. why. If I'm him and he's 35 years old, like, you got $85 million coming this year, and you got so much money coming over the next couple of years. Like, why keep doing this to yourself? It's not like, I don't think he can come back and jump in and establish himself as a quarterback of some other team and all of a sudden get them to a championship. It almost feels like, or get himself into a different conversation when it comes to, like, Hall of Fame. Maybe he is already a Hall of Famer. Maybe he's not. I'm not sure. But the team that takes him on is going to be one of two things. It's going to be someone like the Steelers who have, like, an established culture and can try to work within the confines while they're developing someone else on their own, aside from him. Or it's going to be a team that is always grasping for straws at the quarterback position and is just going to choose another bad decision, just going to go a different... You know, a team that, like, they probably won't because they have a young quarterback, but, like, the Colts, that's the type of team that typically, like, takes a gamble on this and loses every time, but keeps taking gambles on whether it's Phillip Rivers or it's Matt Ryan,
like, or stopgap options.
Yeah, stopgap options. And I just don't know that I would put him on my roster and have him do that.
No, he's in the Derek Carr vein to me in terms of, I don't want to say strain that he puts on a locker room, but just the strain he puts on a locker room.
Yeah.
He's just kind of a corny dude.
He's odd.
And I think that when you're in Seattle and it's the Legion of Boom and you're going to the playoffs every year and you're winning 10 games every year and you're competitive and you're in every game and you're coming from behind and the moon balls and all the stuff Russell Wilson was known for, then you can kind of get away with being a little bit corny. But now guys are just going to look at you sideways. That act isn't going to work anymore. And I think that's just who Russell Wilson is. I think he's going to come in and be like, okay, guys, let's go. Hey, hat on a hat, just saying like NFL just platitudes on the side. Like, hey, big. Hey, got to win on third down. Got to win on third down.
Let's ride.
Yeah. I think that's just kind of what he is. And like I said, if you're going to be that and you're a winner, people are going to be like, wow, mm-hmm. what a guy. That guy is a football guy. But when you're doing that and you're as ineffective as he's been the last couple of years, and when you're doing that and you have a team paying, I actually think the Broncos are doing I believe they're going to do a post June 1 designation on him. So his dead cap money this year is $35.4 million, and they save nothing against the cap.
Oof.
So they're just, you have a team that's eating $35 million this year, $18 next year, $8 the year after that, and $4.4 in 2028.
Oh.
Like the 4.4 isn't that big, and the cap's going to go up, and those numbers aren't going to look as big. But when teams don't do that.
5 years, man.
Teams don't do that. So I don't know that he would have the credibility going into a locker room that a person with his personality requires. Mm. And if you're the Raiders, that's the kind of move where, okay, yeah, you brought in Russell Wilson, but what version of him? This is not Seattle Russell Wilson. They're not bringing in MVP candidate Russell Wilson. They're bringing in this washed version of him. And I don't think the players would take it seriously. I don't think that the fans would take, I don't think it would be like, oh, wow, now we got a quarterback. Be like, well, here goes the Jimmy G thing all over again.
I just thought of the perfect spot for him. If Kirk Cousins leaves the Vikings, that makes sense. That's a team that, like, they do this.
I heard somebody,
slightly rudderless.
I heard somebody the other day, I think it was Rich Eisen. Rich Eisen does this really fun thing after the combine every year where he gets on his radio show and he just does the five most fun just rumors. And he lays it out. He's like, this is not journalism. I'm not reporting this as hard fact. This is just kind of those, you know, whispers from around. You know, you report, you hear this stuff. The stuff that you can't report, but it's like, huh, that's kind of interesting. Huh. So he just comes out and he's like, hey, here's kind of what I heard. And he said that Trey Lance is going to be an option for the Vikings. He said that he heard this.
Okay.
Trey Lance would be an option for the Vikings if they lose Kirk Cousins, and that they would be willing to deal like a third round pick for him.
Oh.
Like, sure, man.
Okay.
If the Cowboys get Trey Lance for a fourth round pick and he's their QB3 all year, their emergency QB, and then they're able to flip him to Minnesota for a third round pick in the final year of his contract with no fifth year option, that would be wild.
That would be crazy. I guess, I mean, you can just extend him, right?
I think theoretically you could if you wanted, but for what?
Well, if you're going to give up a third round pick.
Yeah, what are you paying? I don't know, man. I thought that was kind of nuts, but I think Kirk Cousins is going back there. But.
Yeah, probably.
All right. That's all I got on the Raiders. We have some more Niners stuff, but we can do it tomorrow. We got to get back to basketball.
Okay.
The NBA was kind of wild last night. Bunch of weird stuff happened. We're going to tell you what it is. And do the Rockets actually have the best young big man in Texas? Find out next on The Insiders. Big game tonight for Sacramento. They are down at Crypto.Arena Staples. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. And boy, I have no feel for tonight, dude. Timberwolves game, I had a feel. I went, hey, this is a game I don't expect the Kings to win. I think they're probably going to go out and play pretty well, and they did. Bulls, I thought they would win, but I gave you Bulls +7.5. 7.5-point spread, that's way too many. Bulls +7.5. And then the Kings smoke a huge lead, and they wind up losing that game. I have no feel tonight because this is a spot where the Kings are better. I think they probably should win. But also, they just had an awful loss to Chicago. They've been up and down all year, and you have a Lakers team that's won 10 of 14.
Everything about this Sacramento Kings team is confusing. There is no way to put your finger on the pulse of this team. And I would love to tell everybody out there, the Kings are going to walk into crypto.staples.whatever they're calling it today, stadium, and get this enthralling win that's going to be the one that puts them on the right path. And then they're going to go back home the next night and thump a young Spurs team. And next thing you know, the Kings are back in the five seed.
Back.
Boom. They're back. That's the problem with this team. It's something that we've dealt with all season long. The inconsistency, if, you know, like the, you don't know how to, like, just, you like to put a pin in the Kings all the time. Let's put a pin in this conversation and come back to it.
Okay.
I just kind of feel like you just have to leave the pin in them and leave them up on the wall and say, okay, that's who you are today. We'll see who you are tomorrow. And I don't know how we move forward. And it's like this, it's the strangest thing that I've ever seen for a team. Because normally I know that the team is, you know, you cover a team for 14 years and 12 of those years, they're bad. You get the feeling when they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, you know, I have these conversations all the time about, I don't know what this team is still. And they're, you know, are they just, they're just a 500 team, really, from, you know, January on, they're pretty much just a 500 team.
Mm-hmm.
That's who they are. It's what they are. They aren't the same as they were last year. They're actually, they've fallen a game behind last year's standings. The last year, this is when they took a big step forward and started winning a bunch of games. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that's who this team is right now. They look baffled by who they are. They look frustrated by the outcome of these games. Watching Kevin Huerter in the locker room the other night and just seeing the frustration and the, we got to be better, like watching everybody come up to the podium, they're confused. And it's okay that but that's who they are this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're a confused team. They're confusing to watch. Nothing really makes any sense. But hey, you're still in it. You're still just in the
hanging around.
You're just hanging around, waiting for it to happen, right?
Right.
So
the Lakers -2.5 tonight.
Oh.
It's a good number.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's get to the injury report.
I like the Kings +2.5. All right,
yeah.
Let's go.
For the Sacramento Kings, Sasha Vezinkov is officially out still. I spoke to Sasha in the locker room Monday night. He says he's coming along, but this is a grade 3 ankle sprain, and he's waiting for the ligament to basically reattach. It's a grade 3 is a complete severed ligament in the ankle, and you're waiting for it to reattach itself and heal, and that process takes time, and it doesn't matter that he's not walking in a boot or anything else. We're talking about weeks. We're talking about maybe months, maybe a month, maybe another 6 weeks. I don't know what it is, but he doesn't have a timeline, and so neither should anyone else.
I'm going to go throw up now.
It's going to be a little while. For the Lakers, LeBron James is questionable.
Mm-hmm.
AD and Reddish are probable.
Sure.
Christian Wood, Jared Vanderbilt, and Gabe Vincent are all out tonight. They've all been out long term.
Yeah.
Well, Wood hasn't been out long term, but Vanderbilt and Vincent have been, you know, hit and miss most of the season.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt, I think, is done for the year. But yeah, they're a little shorthanded, but I think it really does depend on whether or not LeBron plays. I mean,
they got most of their dudes,
right?
Man.
They do.
They're not. I'm not calling this a shorthanded Lakers team, which probably plays into the Kings' hands.
There you go.
All right, we figured it out. Let's get to keys to victory. James Hamm, what is your first key to victory?
Don't expect to get any calls. The Lakers commit the least amount of fouls in the NBA, and then they complain about the volume of fouls that they don't get, which I also believe they're right at the top of how many fouls they get.
Let me confirm real quick. Number 6 in the league in free throw attempts, number 1 in the league in free throw attempts allowed.
Yeah, so you're not getting to the line, and they are. Like, face the facts. That's the deal. Go into the game with that understanding. Don't get frustrated by it. Go in there and play your game, and don't yell up the officials. Just understand that this is their job, is to make sure that the team in yellow is gonna.
You'll be shocked to find out. You'll be shocked to find out that the Lakers, number 1 in the league in fouls drawn. Now, part of that is because they are 30th in the league in 3-point attempts. And they are shooting 49.7% from the field. Like, they get into the paint.
Mm-hmm.
That is what they want to do. But additionally, on top of that, they get
they're the Lake Show.
They get a smooth whistle.
That's right.
Sure. Pause? Maybe. My first key to victory, run a lot. It's March. LeBron and Anthony Davis have played a lot of minutes. They've played a lot of games. The Kings are the younger team here. And I think that one of the ways that you can mitigate those two players is by running them all over the court. I'd like to see the Kings get out and really play with a ton of pace tonight.
Would it surprise you if I told you that the 2023-24 Lakers are sixth in the NBA in pace?
Yes. They are. Definitely surprises me.
Yeah. Run, run, run.
Good.
I'm still with you. Make them run.
Mm-hmm. All right. Number two for you.
Let's see. Number two. Hit your threes. The Lakers allow 28th most three-point attempts and makes on the season. They also allow teams to shoot 37.5%, which is 21st. Go ahead and make it rain, but hit your shots. I'm okay. Call it a spray three, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Hit your shots. If you do that, they don't hit a lot of threes. Mm-hmm. And so you have an ability to get separation from them because
and force them into a game they don't want to play.
Yes, exactly. While they're shooting 2-point shots, you're shooting three. And if you're making your threes and they're making their twos, you're going to extend your lead.
That's my favorite part about the whole analytics movement is it's this, it's the math and the numbers and the equations. It's like a lot of it boils down to 3 points is more than 2 points.
It does. Yeah, no, I mean, it's very basic.
The crux of it.
If you hit 40% from the corner,
right,
that's worth 1.2 points per possession.
Right.
If you hit 40% from 18 feet, that's only 2 points. It's worth 0.8 per possession. So if every single time down the court, you're scoring 1.2 and they're scoring 0.8, you're gaining 0.4 points per possession.
Yep.
A couple of possessions in, you're 5.
That's 40 across 100 possessions.
Yeah.
For people who aren't good at math.
There you go.
All right. My second key. I need 48 minutes.
Not 46.
Not 46.
Not 41.
Not 40. I need 48 whole minutes. I need the Kings to not lose the second and fourth quarters by a combined 40 points or whatever it was.
Mm.
35 points, I think. 25 points. Whatever it was. They got smoked in the second and fourth quarters against the Bulls. They did a good 48 minutes. If you play well for 48 minutes, I don't think the Lakers can win.
That's a good key, Kyle.
Thanks.
I like that key.
Gotta play a whole game.
Yep.
All right. number three.
Don't leave the door open.
Mm.
Finish this game off. Do not leave this as a 6-point game with 2 minutes left. You're not going to get the calls. Remember a couple of years ago when LeBron James ran at Harrison Barnes in the middle of the key, forearmed him to the face, and in the waning seconds of the game, a forearm to the face from LeBron James equated to 2 free throws for him, and you lost a game on free throws on a clear offensive foul that was even in the 2-minute report as a clear offensive foul. You are not going to get late calls against LeBron James and against Anthony Davis.
Sure aren't.
Win the game outright.
That's part of the play 48 minutes thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're winning by 25, get it to 30. When you get it to 30, try and get it to 40. That's, again, if you get up
finish
by that
it.
Many, if you get up by that many. My final key, I would like to see if Domantas Sabonis is not going to work on Anthony Davis on the block, I'd like to see him forcing Anthony Davis to step away from the paint a little bit. And okay, the Kings need to hit their threes, but you can also make some layups against this team. Austin Reeves is not a great defender. D'Angelo Russell, not a great defender. You can drive by those guys. You can get into the paint. And if Domas is knocking down a three or a couple of mid-range jumpers and forces Anthony Davis to just come out a little bit, it makes it that much easier to score on LA. So I want to see Domas, like I said, either dominate on the block when he gets it or force Anthony Davis out of the paint. We'll work on that. We'll workshop that. We got a break.
Yeah.
We'll have a Domantas Sabonis domination pun next.
Domination Sabonis.
Okay. We'll just continue workshopping that. All right. Anyways, want to remind everybody that coming up this weekend on ESPN 1320, coming up Thursday, actually, 6:30 p.m. for the final time in the Pac-12 regular season, we've got ASU at UCLA. And then this weekend, that's March 9th, top 25 college hoops at 12:45. It's number 15 at Kentucky at number 4 Tennessee in an SEC battle. And then at 5 p.m., we got a big game for the Kings when the Suns hosts the Boston Celtics. Kings fans going to be rooting for the Celtics in that one. That's what we got coming up this week on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, shout out Isaiah Thomas. He is back, baby.
I love IT. I it's one of the saddest things. Like, covering him, being around him, such a cool dude. Just laid back and, like, a good guy. He's... like, during the time where they're trying to relocate to Seattle, he showed up at city council meetings in Sacramento, even though he's from that area. He showed up at city council meetings to support Kings fans and to be there and to put a face on it. And, like, one of the few. And to me, that was always something that will stick with me, just how much he was part of what was happening. And for me, what's happened in his career is just a travesty. And I hope that he finds a way to make it back, even though at this point he's, what, 35?
Yeah. Tough. Yeah. Shams Charania reported that Isaiah Thomas joining the Utah Jazz G League affiliate, the Salt Lake City Stars, hoping to kind of carve out or play well enough to potentially carve out a role with a playoff team this year. I'm with you, man. He went from, you know, 60th pick, one of the best rookies in the league in his first year, to ascending superstar, and had that unbelievable playoff run, and then just was done.
Yeah, and then it
just fell apart.
Yeah, like his body gave up. His hip was a problem. Yeah, I like, it stands out so much. My first year covering the team was 2010, 2011. Then we go into the lockout, right? So they draft Jemmer at number 10. They draft Bismack Biyombo at number 7 and trade him with Beno Udra for number 10 and John Salmons, or they took Jemmer. And then the final pick in the draft is number 60. It's, you know, Isaiah. So we go through the lockout and you're waiting to see what's going on, who these guys are. We get back in the gym, and like the second day, Paul Westphal pulled me aside and said, man, this kid can really, really play. I'm like, oh, is he going to make the team? He goes, oh, no, he's going to do a lot more than make the team. he's going to be really, really good. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, what a surprise. Like, what a ball player. And yeah, the rest was history.
He went 7th in Rookie of the Year voting in 2011-12. He was 10th in Most Improved voting in 2013-14. 2nd in Sixth Man of the Year voting in 2014-15. That was the year he signed with Phoenix and then went to Boston. He was an All-Star in 2015-16. And then a top 5 MVP candidate, second team All-NBA, and an All-Star, averaging 28.9 a game in 2016-17. And then in 2017-18, 15.2 per game. And that's the most he would average in a season for the rest of his career.
You know what the Kings got for him when they traded?
Oh, yeah, that's right. They traded him to Phoenix. That's right.
Alex Oriaki, the draft rights.
Oh, UConn legend.
To Alex Oriaki and a trade exception that they never used.
For no reason, by the way.
Yeah, that was one of the most egregious errors I've ever seen. I argued with Pete D'Alessandro. He's not a starter. Like, he's a starter on your team. Like, he averaged 20-7. What do you mean he's not a starter? Well, they signed Darren Collison that summer. They invited Kings fans into a room at a hotel in Vegas, one of which was wearing an Isaiah Thomas jersey. And here's a crazy, you want to hear a crazy story?
I want to hear every crazy Kings story you have.
I was sitting at Summer League with my partner at Cowbell Kingdom at the time, John Santiago. Mm-hmm. We're standing, waiting for the Kings game to come up next. Standing behind us was Mark Mastroff and Vivek Ranadive.
Mark Mastroff, the 24-hour fitness guy.
And former Sacramento Kings minority owner. Sure. So look back, hey, what's going on, guys? How are you? Like, good, good. Like, we're waiting to, because what happens in Summer League is people clear out of their seats and then you climb it. You mm-hmm. go grab a seat before mm-hmm. the next game and the Kings are playing next. And Vivek goes, "Oh, what do you guys think of our summer so far, of the signings?" Which was kind of off, he's standing behind us to get like, "Hey, what do you guys think?" And my partner John goes, "Oh, I think you guys made a huge mistake." And Vivek is like shaken, like, "What do you mean, huge mistake? Like, well, why didn't you just re-sign Isaiah Thomas?" And he just kind of blank and like, well, we didn't want to spend that much money we didn't want to spend $7 million a year on a backup. And I chimed in, I'm like, well, then why did you give Carl Landry 4 years, $28 million last year to be a backup power forward? And he's just kind of, again, jarred.
A lot of thought clearly went into the team building process.
Like, what are we doing here? And I'm like, plus, again, like I had told Pete, that guy's a starter on your team. Like, would you
crazy.
Think? Well, we it doesn't matter. He the better player, bring them both in. You had plenty of money, bring them both in.
And they moved him for nothing.
If you want Darren Collison to be your starter, bring him in and have him compete with Isaiah mm-hmm. Thomas straight up. And see who's the better player. Because mm-hmm. I guarantee you who the better player is not. And this isn't a knock on Darren Collison. I thought Darren Collison was a perfectly fine player. But Darren Collison was in the same realm. Like, he had not been a starter. He had lost his job in Dallas because him and Rick Carlisle couldn't get along. Mm-hmm. Like, solid NBA player.
You're allowed to have more than one good player.
Yes. Yeah. There was a weird fixation with the front office on Ty Lawson,
just the worst version of Isaiah Thomas.
It was so at when Pete was in Denver, he was there with Ty Lawson, and again, you ended up with Ty Lawson in Sacramento eventually, who was a perfectly fun guy to be around. He had these things called sleekers, which were
slipper sneakers.
Yes, have you seen them?
Are they the ones that they look like sneakers, but you can also collapse the heel down?
I think so.
Step into him? Okay.
Yes.
Great.
That was his. Those were his, his brand. He sold those.
Okay.
And so, he would wear those around the locker room. Ty was great. He had some off-the-court issues, some big-time mm-hmm. off-the-court issues. Yeah. He also had this thing where he would steal people's underwear in the locker room. which was have guys come out and a full locker room. It's pre-COVID, so it's a full locker room full of people after a game. And Costa Kufis looking around, where are my underwear? It was good stuff. Like Ty Lawson was a comedian. It was fun. He was actually like a prankster and like one of those guys. But they were so obsessed with like that IT was not Ty Lawson. And it's like, okay, like he's not Ty Lawson. He's different. And then he goes on to be spectacular. And, you know, even when he goes to Phoenix, it doesn't work out in Phoenix because that's the season that they bring in like 3 point guards where they bring in Goran Dragic, Eric Bledsoe, and Isaiah Thomas to all play the point guard position. And like, hey, what are we doing? And then quickly traded him to Boston and acted like, oh, like something was wrong there.
Yeah, that was Dragic, Eric Bledsoe, and IT.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, so like just to go back in the days of... You know, again, Vivek during his early ownership had, like, you're going to excuse some of the things that happened early in ownership because he just was new to it. And so I don't really blame him for the Isaiah Thomas thing. But the rest of it, there are some stories in there that, you know, after we got past that era, like, the eras just kept, like, hitting you.
Some of these names on the 14-15 Suns, real quick, I want to go through that. But well, and I was living down in Arizona.
Yeah.
And went to a Kings Suns game at whatever the Suns arena was called at that point.
Walking stick, talking stick, whatever. I don't.
Yeah, it's not Gila River. Talking stick sounds right.
Yeah.
But whatever it was. And Isaiah Thomas comes out onto the court. I'm down there hanging out right down close, and not where my seats were, but I was hanging out down close, and Isaiah Thomas goes up to Grant Napier, who's calling games at the time, and daps him up, and he just goes, "You guys got to lose today." And Grant was like, "Oh, it's good to see you." And he's like, "No, you're losing today."
Oh yeah,
and he was. Not it wasn't like, oh hey, I'm gonna get you guys. There was some animosity. It was real.
Oh yeah.
He was not excited to play the Kings.
No, I've always thought that's one of the most poorly handled situations I've ever seen. And even, you know, the problem that they had is the last season Isaiah was there, him and Rudy Gay and DeMarcus Cousins kept taking turns being injured that year. And it just made it tough for any continuity. And I know they got late in the season and Ray McCallum is playing 47 minutes a game, and you got Michael Malone begging the front office to please bring in a point guard from the G League or wherever because he can't, like Ray McCallum is a second round pick and playing 48 minutes a night. He's like, please sign somebody. And they went out and signed Royce White.
Who won't fly on airplanes.
And who never scored a basket in the NBA. Although, what was he, the number 10 pick in the draft? Number 11.
Something like that.
Never, ever,
Iowa
ever.
State?
Yeah, he was a Cyclone. Yeah.
This 14-15 Suns roster is bananas. Just while we're here. And then we'll get to the handoff with Kenny Garaway, who's getting set up now in a sick-ass cardigan.
Ooh, that
That's
is smooth.
That's so fire.
Oh,
I like
that
so much. let's run down this roster real quick. Eric Bledsoe, who we mentioned. Reggie Bullock.
Oh, yeah.
Was in his... first season or second season, Seth Curry.
Oh.
Fresh out of Duke. Goran Dragic. Zoran Dragic. Tyler Ennis. Forget how the rookie from Syracuse. Archie Goodwin. Gerald Green was on that team. Brandon Knight.
Oh, another point guard.
Yep. Alex Len, Kings legend.
Oh, yeah.
In his second year that year.
Fourth pick in the draft, Alex Len. Fourth or fifth?
Marcus Morris and Markieff Morris.
Both Morris twins. And at that time, they shared a checking account.
Correct. Miles Plumlee was on that team.
Oh, they had a Plumlee.
IT, of course. Marcus Thornton.
Low buckets.
Kings legend. Anthony Tolliver.
Kings legend.
Kings and Warriors legend.
Yep.
PJ Tucker was on that team. TJ Warren
was
a rookie from NC State that year. And Brandon Wright, another Warriors legend.
Yeah.
That team was just a who's who of NBA randos.
Yeah, that is a lot of randos.
Man.
That team, I don't know if they can hear me, but.
Time for the handoff. Kenny Caraway, he's here.
That team was like, what year did you say that was?
That's 14, 15.
That was like the 12, 13 college all-stars. Like all of those guys
yeah.
were so good in college.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
Except for Anthony Tolliver. I don't remember where he came from. Anthony Tolliver, you talk about Warriors legend.
Creighton.
Creighton, yeah.
I don't remember him at Creighton. But you talk about Warriors legend. The thing that I remember the most about him as a Warrior was Amari Stoudemire had one of the nastiest dunks in recent memory in the open court on Anthony Tolliver.
That tracks. Vicious.
This might be 2 days in a row we brought up Anthony Tolliver on the show. That's very
I really
strange.
Liked Anthony Tolliver.
I'm going to keep a tracker.
He's a very nice guy.
Yeah, I really I liked him here. I thought he helped for that little period that you talked about after the trade deadline. And
yeah, him and Baze pulled the team aside and had a big conversation. Mm-hmm. I dug him as he was a cool dude. I think his, you know, he won like one of the NBA awards for a great teammate. He had won that award in Minnesota. The Kings rewarded him with like a 3-year, like $24 million deal, something like that. He made more money in his first year with the Sacramento Kings than he had, I think it was twice as much as he had made in all of his other seasons combined. Hey. Same thing with Garrett Temple. Garrett Temple, when he got his deal with the Kings, it like tripled whatever he had ever made before. They were trying to bring in culture guys then.
When do you think Anthony Tolliver's last year in the league was?
Last year?
Part of me feels like he's still in the league.
Okay.
Last year.
I know. 2021 was his last year.
Okay.
Really?
Nice little career. 13 seasons?
That's a great career. For
yeah.
a guy out of Creighton that yeah. kind of a one-trick pony, just a shooter.
Well, that he's fully vested, too. That's what that means in NBA circles. Like, you get past 10 years, you're fully vested.
That is a great career for him.
And I think they make, it's $800, I think, it's $800 a month for every year they played in retirement. So you get 10 years, you get $8,000 a month. Mm. And what not in retirement, I think it's once you hit 50.
Mm.
Yeah.
Can I run through, since this is just what we're doing today?
The randomness.
Just, by the
Let's
way,
do it. You know I love that.
You mentioned the Anthony Tolliver Warriors team.
Yeah, yeah.
09-10 Warriors.
Ooh.
This is
Steph's first year?
Yes. First, 09?
Oh, yeah, 09-10. Yeah, 09-10. Yeah, first year.
I hate the crossover years. It really throws me every single time. So Steph Curry's a rookie on that team. Monte Ellis, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Kalen Azubuike.
Hey.
On that team.
Oh.
Rajah Bell had a cup of coffee.
Rajah was with the
Warriors. I think he played one game. He had a wrist thing, and I think he played one game for them.
What's the podcast? The
Real Ones.
The Real
with him
ones.
And Logan Murdoch.
Him and Logan. Yeah,
that's a good show.
Yeah, check that out.
He played 23 minutes for the Warriors, played one game for them in awesome. that 09-10 season.
That's like Drew Gooden with the Kings.
Devin one George. Game.
Oh,
Devin George was on that.
Wow. Devin George, I think he lives in Roseville.
Really?
Really?
Devin George is in Sacramento. He's a Sacramento resident.
I did not know that.
That's wild.
He's real cool with Coach David Patrick over at Sac State. My man who owns Urban Roots. They all, yeah.
Oh.
Devin George is here. I think it was Ramsey who told me
Devin
he
George.
Sees him at Lifetime Fitness all the time.
Oh. That tracks.
All right.
Probably just out there getting buckets.
Yeah.
I could see
Devin
that.
George, a hell of a journey. He was like a D3 basketball player.
Yeah, he went to something called Augsburg College.
Yeah, it's like in the middle of
good
Minneapolis.
Yeah, hell yeah. Good
and
for him.
He made it to the NBA, won NBA championships, played real minutes with Kobe and Shaq. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Had a great career.
Yeah.
Stack, Steven Jackson was on that team.
Okay.
Don't know if you remember this guy, Kobe Carl.
Yeah, yeah,
George Carl's kid?
George Carl's son.
He was a good ball player. He went to Boise State, Nevada, somewhere in the Mountain
Boise
West.
State. Yeah, nailed it.
He also was an assistant with the Reno Bighorns.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he may have even become the head coach, like when George was here.
You'd know better than me. AC Law?
AC Law, Texas A&M
Texas
legend.
A&M, dude.
I thought he could go.
Yo.
Texas A&M, he
so
could
did
go.
Keith Smart. Started him over Steph Curry a bunch.
AC Law could go.
Yeah, big AC Law guy. Corey Maggette.
Shout out Corey Maggette.
Do you guys remember Cartier Martin?
Yeah.
I do not remember Cartier Martin.
Cartier Martin, Kansas State legend. Mikey Moore.
Oh, yeah.
Was also on that team.
Yeah, Kings legend.
Anthony Morrow.
Anthony okay. Morrow. He could shoot the rock.
Mikey Moore, yeah, I think, had snakes. Like, he collects gigantic snakes.
I would
like
never be hanging out with Mikey Moore.
No, absolutely not.
I agree.
Vladimir Radmanovic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In his eighth Sonics season, legend. Vlad Rad.
Sonics yep. Lakers legend.
Roni Turioff.
Ronnie
yeah,
Turioff.
Gonzaga, yeah. Stand up.
Yeah. Anthony Tolliver, obviously. C.J. Watson.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that, funny story. Yeah. Funny story with C.J. Watson.
Oh, please. So, that was not what I was expecting, but so, go on.
It's a well-known story, but when Floyd Mayweather was fighting Conor McGregor, they were going back and forth, and I think Draymond had alliances with Floyd. He was like, I'm riding with Floyd. So something happened. No, CJ Watson had dated Floyd's baby mama. So Conor McGregor walks into some building with a 23 Warriors jersey on, and Draymond goes, hey, dog, yeah, I appreciate you wearing my jersey, but I'm riding with Floyd. And then Conor responds in a post. He says, hey, bro, I don't even know who you are. This That's is right. CJ Watson, who dated Floyd's baby mama. But hey, stay in school, kid.
Just, dude, the deep cut trash talk.
That was the best
and having
thing.
It. And having it work out that way is just...
That was the best thing Connor ever did. That was hilarious. Man. I die about that to this day.
Oh, that's Man. Hilarious. And IT and Floyd are super close.
Yeah.
I remember when he was here, Floyd bought him a Bentley?
Yeah.
As one does.
As one does.
Yeah. Right.
He was courtside quite a few times during that era.
He was. Yeah. He was. Yeah, IT was his guy.
You going to buy me a Bentley, Kenny?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Just once
I know you got
getting,
it like that.
Once so. I start getting D-Lo money, then yeah.
I had a friend reach out. He said, Devin George coaches a junior high or a junior varsity basketball team at Capital Christian, he believes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Good Devin, for Devin him, here. Man.
Yeah, he's here in SAC.
Good yeah. for Devin George.
I had no idea. We should have Devin George on the show.
Great.
Absolutely. I'll he good dude. I met him when I emceed the kickoff dinner for SAC State basketball. Good guy, man. Devin George is a real good guy.
All right. I think that's just what the handoff with Kenny Caraway is going to turn into. We'll just pick a year and a team.
Let's do it.
And just remember some dates.
Let's do it.
David may have made a GQ cover for you, Kyle.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw it. I hate David.
Oh, that's what we're doing?
Oh, well, because every photo sales has used of me in the last couple of days has just been a disaster. I'm either stone-faced or like... And so David's like, I got
Dr.
you.
David, man.
Dude, he's hilarious. Check out the Chatty House. YouTube.com/ESPN1320. Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Very quickly, we got like 30 seconds, James. King's going to win tonight?
It's a big game.
It's massive.
I'm a little nervous.
I have no idea.
Lakers -2.5 feels like bait. I'm going Kings +2.5.
I don't know. I mean, they could beat the Lakers
Dude,
by 20.
If I was a gambler, I would never bet on the never. Kings.
Never. Or I would never. Just bet on them against the good teams and against them in the bad teams. Do it that way.
That seems to be the trend. All right. James and I will be back tomorrow, 10 to noon. Kenny Caraway will be back right now. He and D'Lo are coming up. D'Lo and KC right now on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.